My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They had not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
You ready?
I'm ready, yeah. Hey, welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Wow. It's Friday. I'm telling you, I'm ready. I believe that I'm ready. I had a great service yesterday, by the way, in India. 44 people saved, 29 people that gave testimony of God doing a miraculous healing work in their lives. So very excited about that. Also, was up early this morning. We dedicated another freshwater bore well in the name of a dear friend of mine, Adam Mundall, who was the founder of State Air, which is one of our continuing sponsors. He's my longest sponsor, and he actually had believed in this ministry, and he told me 10, almost 11 years ago, he said, you're going to have a worldwide ministry. I just know you are, and I'm going to sow seed in your ministry because I believe in seed and harvest. And his business has been blessed, and his family, one of his dying wishes, he said, you make sure that you sow seed into Pastor Greg's ministry. And they have been loyal to that, and I thank the Mundall family for that and State Air. So we put a well in his honor in Punjab, India this morning. All right, I am very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He is working on behalf of protecting and defending. You know, our law enforcement have been treated horrifically over the course of the last 15 years. And I say 15 years because it really started under the Muslim Barack Obama. That's when it started. And yes. and it has done nothing but get worse. And he was the divider in chief. He's divided us in terrible ways. I thank God for people like Robert Woodson Sr. and the Woodson Center that are fighting back against the racism that Barack Obama pushed and the assault on law and order. And I thank Michael Letts for being here today. And I want you to hear what he's doing and why this is such a significant need, which that part floors me when I think about, you know, I mean, if you're law enforcement, you know, look, if you're, I worked in restaurant, I worked in a lot of different things, but let's take restaurant as an example. You're going to go into a kitchen and you're going to tell a guy, make me a dish, but you're not going to give him an oven, and you're not going to give him a stove, and you're not going to give him pots and pans, and you're not going to give him a spatula, but you're going to stand him in the middle of an empty room, and you're going to say, here, would you make this? That's, in essence, in many of these municipalities and smaller communities and some even large communities, that's what we're doing to law enforcement. We're sending them out as lambs amongst wolves, completely undefended. So I welcome Michael Letts. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. It's always a privilege to be on shows such as yours that, first and all and foremost, know the true value in life, and that is just what you mentioned before. That's doing things for eternity, making sure that, you know, we spread the gospel. That's critical, and that's the most important thing. But I think one of the things also that we have done is, you know, God calls us to be faithful stewards until the end. And we know, Pastor Greg, we are in the last days. I think there's no question about that. But I tell people all across the country, just because we're in the last days does not in any way give us a pass to sit back and do nothing. God mm-hmm. expects us to be faithful to the end. And so we need to be faithful to uphold truth and to defend freedom, to defend liberty. I thank you for your services. I have done service as well. And thank God for all those veterans out there and those law enforcement officers, first responders, who've taken the oath. I remind them on a constant basis that oath, by the way, did not have an expiration date. The oath is still valid, and we still need to make sure we do all we can to defend our great country. What you had mentioned before on law enforcement is, unfortunately, it's not happenstance. It was a well-orchestrated, well-thought-out movement. Let me give you a real quick background. The liberal left and those with an ideology of socialism, democratic socialism, determined that they were going to help communism obtain its ultimate goal and objective. And communism's ultimate goal and objective is world dominance. But there was one thing standing in the way of that, and that is the United States of America, a world power that believed in freedom and liberty. So they thought about trying to see what they could do to destroy it. They on talks about with law enforcement. They quickly decided that the best way to, you know, you can't destroy a country, or it's difficult to destroy a country when its citizens are armed. And so they wanted to make sure that they could remove that element from the American public. Of course, it's hard to do that when you have more guns in America than you have anywhere in the world. But they thought that they could get law enforcement to uphold whatever laws that they passed to remove firearms. They quickly realized that local and state law enforcement, Pastor Greg, are the members in our congregations, people that you see at Walmart, you shop the groceries with, and they are not going to violate a constitutional provision of the Second Amendment. So they determined they had to do something else. So here was the master plan that Obama came up with, and I will tell him it was very brilliant. They decided that they would formulate a couple organizations called Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and that they would then stir the pot and that they would create or allow incidents to happen where they would use the media to portray that it was a racial issue and that it would cause a divide among the American people. And as they begin to do that, here's what happened. When they encouraged Black Lives Matter, like we'll use George Floyd as an example, you notice they looted and rioted in the cities, burned a lot of the cities. And when the mainstream media covered it, they covered the looting and the rioting. Then they would pan to law enforcement, who are standing in a line, but just standing there and doing nothing. Well, there was a reason why they were doing nothing. They had been ordered to stand down. I've talked to all these officers. I've got 32 years law enforcement experience myself. And they had been ordered to stand down. They didn't understand why. They had been trained to handle these issues. They had been ordered to stand down. Well, there was a reason why they were ordered. Because they put out a national image that, look, local and state law enforcement can't do the job. They're buffoons. They're racists. They're discriminatory. And so they begin to foster that image nationally. They don't deserve respect. They can't even keep you safe. And as they begin to foster that image, well, then they went to the next step. Well, Pastor Greg, why should we fund them? They're not doing anything to help you. And so they begin to defund the police movement to put them out in harm's way without the necessary equipment, without bulletproof vests, without what they needed to come home safely to their families. We're certainly not going to give you a pay raise if you can't do your job. If anything, we ought to reduce your pay salary. And so they created that image that law enforcement were just not necessary. And what happened when they did that? Well, they knew what was going to happen. Law enforcement officers began to quit in droves, began to retire early in droves. There's a couple other things that happened along with this that helped further this along. They declared we had a national health crisis, COVID, which, of course, you and I both know now that vaccine was a farce. And, you know, the government was a farce in doing that.
Yes, sir.
But what did they do to first responders and to our military? You take the vaccine or you're out of here. You're canned. Mm-hmm. Well, we had thousands, literally thousands that said, no, I'm not going to trade my health and my future for your mandate. And so they left. So you begin to look at that. You had a thick blue line. Quickly went down to a thin blue line. It is continuing to drop. It is now a skeletal crew. You know, we just had yesterday, a couple of days ago, another agency in Goodall, Milwaukee, that just quit. The whole department left. You just shut it down. And you're seeing this all across the country. And the reason why, of course, is it concerning to the federal government? No. What do they want to do? They come back and quickly say, never fear. Your federal government is here. We'll take care of this spike in violent crime. Now, they've already said what they believe to be the problem is. It's guns. Notice they don't say it's not. It's the person that pulled the trigger of the gun. It's the gun itself.
Yeah.
And so we know that when the feds come in, they will utilize their authority to go after their perceived problem to remove guns across the country. Now, how do you think they're going to do this? Well, they've already started. They wanted to hire 87,000 IRS agents. They just spent $10 million, Pastor Greg, in the last couple months to outfit these officers, not with little 38 specials just in case something goes wrong in an audit. No, they bought full tactical gear, full riot gear from head to toe, full armament, full tactical weapons. You tell me, what does a tactical member need to come into your home because you didn't get the decimal right on one of your tax returns? Makes absolutely no sense unless you realize that they're spreading it out to ATF, IRS, DEA, FBI, et cetera, to make sure they have enough officers in place across the country to implement a seizure of all firearms in America. And they're not even hiding it anymore. You know, the sad part about this, Pastor Greg, is the agencies that we've mentioned, especially DOJ and the FBI, have already demonstrated that they are willing to go to great lengths to push a liberal agenda that they want to cover. And what do I mean by that? Well, we know, let's use a couple quick examples. We know with the current administration, all the investigations that are from bribery, treason, Hunter Biden, what did they do with them? They sat on them. You know, we just discovered in the last few days there is ample evidence, police evidence, of voter election fraud in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yep.
We didn't realize this at the time, but it was turned over to the FBI. Now, what do you think the FBI did with it? Nothing. They just sat on it. What do you think our attorney general has done when he testified before Congress? Oh, I won't get in the middle of any kind of investigation of Hunter Biden. We'll let it be done the way that any other citizen would be done. And then we discover from whistleblowers that that just simply wasn't true, that he actually had direct contact to intervene to make sure that he got a lucrative deal to make sure that that investigation was delayed. They've done everything possible to protect the president.
Well, Michael, so I don't know if you're aware of this, too. In addition to that, there's also been criminal evidence regarding the elections in Pennsylvania that's been turned over as well. I had Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops on the program, and right here on this show sent a text to Jim Jordan and Chip Roy connecting them with Gregory Stenstrom, and then a copy of that interview so that they were told, but it's being buried, not by them, mind you, but by their staffs, by their chiefs of staff. That have not taken the documentation to them, just as an example.
See, so Pastor Greg, what you and I are laying out is there is deep corruption in our government across this country. And one of their key elements to be able to be successful is they have to destroy our city, state, and local law enforcement. That's just their objective. They can't. And why do they have to destroy them? Well, let's talk about that for just a second. What happens on a federal level? You know, Pastor Greg, if you decide you want to become an FBI agent, they say, great. Where do you live? California. Okay, where are we going to put you? South Carolina. Why are we going to move you all across the country? For a particular reason. They don't want you to be anywhere where you have any family or any friends. And why is that? Because they want to make sure that you are dependent on their family. And when you're dependent on them totally, you are much more adept to follow their orders than you are if you're living, if you're still an agent in California, you run into people that you know, you go to church with people that you know. You really would be embarrassed and feel really bad if you were enforcing an order that you knew was unconstitutional. And so that's why they do that. They want to make sure they have a federal force that will do exactly what it's told, not city, state, local cops that are sworn to uphold the Constitution.
Yeah.
And so that's the battle that we're facing right now. Let me give your viewers a couple other quick points. When we started Invest 30 years ago, the key, we had 52% of cops who had no protection. But the only thing available at the time was what we call a concealable vest. That's the vest you see them wearing under their shirt.
Okay.
That's made out of Kevlar. Now, those concealable vests are great for stopping sidearms, pistols. They will not stop a rifle. A rifle will cut right through it like it's butter. And so, but it worked fine to begin with because most crimes were committed with handguns. But then about a decade and a half ago, the cartels and the criminal element decided to get a little smarter.
Yeah,
they upgraded to, as you said, to long-range rifles, assault rifles. And so we had to stop and create new technology. It didn't exist. We created a new technology called active shooter vests that have titanium plates in them that will literally stop any round on the market. The problem is that 90% of officers, as you and I are speaking today, don't have access to this vest because it's relatively new and it's new technology. And so they are outgunned.
Like the five officers in Dallas.
Correct. They would be alive. You and I could spend the rest of the day, Pastor Greg, talking to officers who would be alive today had they had the new technology. That were just, their lives were lost because of the fact that agencies, you say, well, why don't law enforcement agencies just go out and buy all this tomorrow? Why is InVest needed? Because unfortunately, agencies are struggling with tax bases. They kind of feel like, if I have my choice, Pastor Greg, I'd rather put two of y'all on the street than one fully equipped because it looks better. It makes it look like I have more people on the force. And so they're stretching that dollar the best they can. What is so disappointing is the current administration can send literally billions of dollars to Ukraine to fight a war that, quite frankly, we in America has no strategic interest in. We can fund that almost monthly, but we can't afford to take care of the officers in America who are supposed to be providing security, protection, and police force protection here in this country. Why is that? Because, as we said, they don't want to defend America. They want America to fall. They have other nefarious activities worldwide that they prefer to fund instead. And it's discouraging, it's frustrating to our officers, but it shows such as yourself where American people can see what's going on. What do I ask out of the American people? Very simple. I'm not, yes, you can donate money to help provide a vest, but much more important than you're donating any money to buy a vest is for you to take the time today when you see an officer, firefighter, EMS worker say, you know, thank you for putting your life on the line. I just wanted you to know that I appreciate you, because the morale has never been lower in American history. We've never lost so many officers. My fear is we have a skeletal crew that cannot survive much longer without breaking. And they need to know that America has their back, because they know the government doesn't. So, yes, if you can provide some financial help to help them put a vest on, that'd be great. But more importantly, make sure they know that you believe in them, that you will back them, that you stand with them. Because quite frankly, we are almost at a point now, if we don't do that, we're going to become an anarchy. And it'll get to the point where you're going to strap on a six-shooter like we did in the Old West, and I hope you're a fast draw, because that's the only way you're going to survive.
It is such a travesty. You know, remember that our founders said that our Constitution, our constitutional rights, America is about liberty, not about the restriction of liberty. And any good parent knows that the challenge that you face as you introduce your child to this great big world that we live in is that you've got to make sure that you get the foundation right. You've got to make sure that you get the choices right, so that when you're not there and they're out there, they make good decisions, because it's about liberty, not about restriction. Correct. Now, you create chaos and anarchy, and this is a Marxist tactic, so that you can create a willingness of the people, such as we watched and you described it with the lockdowns, with, oh my goodness, it's a pandemic. So we close the churches, we close the businesses, we close the grocery stores. Folks, we were under martial law and we didn't even realize it. We allowed ourselves voluntarily to go under martial law. And if you didn't, we saw video after video of merchants who had, you know, again, and unfortunately, law enforcement had their arm twisted. It was either you go and you enforce what we're telling you to enforce, or you're fired. You're done. Now, some said no. Some sheriffs said no. Some law enforcement, some police said no. We're not going to enforce your radical mandates. But all in all, this is what we've been left with. And so, unfortunately, the police now have been caught in the middle of this because on the one side, you've got the BLM and the Antifa and the radical left that wants the destruction of the police. On the other side, you've got some people that are strong constitutionalists that want law and order but don't necessarily trust the police at this point. Because why? Because you've got this, we know, an FBI that's radically out of control, a CIA. I had Sam Faddis on earlier this week talking about that very issue relative to the higher echelons of the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, the Alphabet Soup, the ATF. And I've connected the dots. You had Ruby Ridge. That was a test. Right. You had Waco. That was a test. Then you had BLM, Bureau of Land Management, I mean, the Bundy Ranch situation. That was a test. Then you had Lavoie Finicum, who was murdered. That was a test. Then now you have J6. That was a test. These are all tests. And who are they after? Who do they want us to? We want you to focus on the bad police guys. No, it's leadership issues.
Well, you're exactly right, Greg. And it's just, it's when we put our officers in this particular position, especially when you look at it, when you just stop and realize for a minute, I don't pay anything. I'm asking you to literally risk your life every day. Not just your life, but it's your family's life.
Yes.
Because we have an attitude now that something goes wrong. Oh, you're automatically at fault. Yeah. I don't care. You're automatically at fault. Yeah. What does that mean? That means I, as an officer, have to defend myself. It costs me to defend myself, takes away all my retirement, and may take away my entire financial future. For what? Why do they think they want to do that anymore? And I'm just, they're leaving in droves. Yeah. It takes a special kind of a person to be. To begin with.
Final minute. Yeah. Well, and you can't go in to these situations halfway. You have to be fully committed into what you're dealing with in front of you and not have all of these other things scrambling your brain and thinking, okay, should I, can I? These are split second issues. Life or death, split second issues. And somebody dies if they don't make the right choice in many of these instances. And
well, that was eloquently said. And, I mean, you hit the nail on the head.
And so, as you said, you know, buy them a cup of coffee, tell them they're appreciated, let them know in your community that you are grateful for their service, look out for their families. And as a community, you know, you also can be holding the line. Mothers, don't let your boys get out of line. Hello. Just saying. All right, Michael, thank you. I appreciate it, man. And not just moms, unfortunately, because of single mothers, that's an issue. But men, be men. If you're going to have a kid, be a dad.
Correct.
Okay. If you're going to have a kid, if you're going to pull it out and you're going to have a kid, be a man, be a dad, or keep it zipped up. End of story.
Well said.
Michael, God bless you, man. InvestUSA.org. You can make a donation there. InvestUSA.org. Thanks for what you're doing, brother. I greatly appreciate it. Been a great conversation.
Thank you. God bless you. Continue to preach the truth, brother. That's all we can do in these final days.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friend. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back. We're going to talk about strong marriages and how strong marriages improve communities coming up. Greg and Julie Gorman join me coming up right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
You guys go in this direction.
And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And, you know, at the end of our last segment, as I was closing up, I talked about strong families. And I mentioned, you know, look, if you're going to be involved in having sex, you better be ready to be a dad and be a man, period. Otherwise, seriously, you need to keep it zipped up, and that speaks directly to the issue we're about to get into right now. And I'm really, really pleased to welcome my next guests to the program. They have been working with transformative marriage. I could call it therapy of a sort, and it kind of is. But it's really helping people to understand how their marriages can be transformed. And I want to welcome Greg and Julie Gorman. Greg and Julie, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much, Greg. It's good to be here, man.
Well, man, you know, this this family thing is, I mean, it every time that I get into these kinds of conversations, and you probably hear the same thing, the political head talking heads want us to say, well, you know, you're just talking about social issues. All you're concerned about is social issues. And I'm like, you know what? You people don't even get it. Okay, because if we don't get this right, if we don't get this foundation right, the rest of it is going to be the mess that it is.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. It all starts in the family, and we all have, a family experience. We all have a paradigm about family. And so if we figure the marriage is kind of the tip of the spear. And so a lot of our focus really is on directly on marriage and marriage coaching and helping couples to realize all that God has for them, you know, really to get on board with this plan, because his plan is better than our plan. And it really is a good plan, but really learning how to focus on living life unified together in all areas of our life. So the more that we're unified as a couple, that spills over into all of the other aspects of our family. And there's not a single relationship, not a single earthly relationship that we're going to have that's going to affect our well-being, our health, our wealth, all of the other aspects, our happiness, any more than our marriage relationship, you know? Right. And so if we get that right, then again, the kids are going to learn, not necessarily, I mean, they'll learn to a certain degree by what we say, but what they're doing is they're learning how to live life. They're learning how to be married. They're learning how to be responsible citizens, right? By observation. We're a product of our environment, whether we like it or not. You take a Chinese baby out of a Chinese home, you can raise it in an American English-speaking home, and that kid's not going to speak Chinese.
Right.
And so it's important, again, that we're nailing this, you know, and we're not, and we're taking our vows and our commitment seriously. And it doesn't have to be a drag. It can be awesome. It's just a matter of mindset and beginning to focus on the right things. Sorry, I got on a bit of the soapbox.
No, brother, no. I think that's critical. Well, and Julie, I ask you because, you know, there's so many women out there that are struggling with this, right? You know, single family, single parent, you know, they don't have that strong man, or they've been brainwashed to believe, well, you know, the man is bad. The man is the problem. And you know, patriarchy is under such assault. How do you, encourage women relative to that role? And let me just say one other quick thing. So I'm watching God's Not Dead last night, right? And you know that part where the character Amy confronts, you know, Willie and his wife as they're getting ready to go into the church, right? And she's like, well, I'm surprised to see you here. I thought you'd be home barefoot and pregnant, you know? And so, I mean, that is so stereotypical of how the world now, with its feminism, has painted a picture. Speak to that, if you'd be so kind.
You know, I kind of vacillated early on in our relationship, wanting Greg to be my knight in shining armor, all the way to thinking he was a pervert and an absolute idiot. So, you know, there's these pendulums sometimes that I think we carry into relationships that sabotage our relationships. But what I've learned is the power of having a godly man in my life, the power of having that foundation, that this relationship, we're completely different. But man, my kids need a strong presence of a man in their life. And they also need a nurturing, peaceful mom. And those two combinations together, it's Greg's persona of excellence, my persona, if you will, of encouragement. It's meshing those two things together that causes to be effective in parenting. And you come back to one of the things you said early on, Greg, is that we like to say strong community or strong families equal strong communities. Mm-hmm. And it's the absence of the father that I think we find ourselves in this crisis. And there's a statistic out there that said they did this research, and over the last 30 years, high crime, the level of high crime has paralleled with the absenteeism of the father, the abandonment of the father, that has paralleled in as high crime has risen, so has the rising of the absentee of the father. So for a woman, I've learned to really embrace the beauty of being able to be covered, protected, while also bringing all of my strengths, all of my giftings. And I think the thing that's sad is sometimes what you referred to earlier is that male dominancy taking a place where they're not serving as Christ served the church. And so it takes both parts.
There's a ditch on each side of the road. By the way, did you just say that I'm beautiful?
You are beautiful.
I really appreciate that.
Look at that. Look at that. We're going to frame that right there. It's the environment that's created too. You need that strong man to create the environment so that the woman can flourish with her children and not be in a place of always feeling threatened.
Being able to bring all of my strengths. I can be a little wiry. I mean, I can be a type A, strong sort of woman, but it's the beauty of knowing that I'm safe under the covering of him as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting. I was watching, and probably it was a TED Talk, but I saw the shorter, real version of it, and it was a woman that was talking about this, and she said, you know, well, the studies show that you know, the amount of crime, right, is directly linked. When you have a mom and a dad in a home, okay, those children have a much smaller percentage chance of ending up in prison. Now, she said, I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear, and that is that the same percentage chance of them not ending up in prison exists when it's just being raised by dad.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, if it's dad and mom, or if it's just dad, the percentage of the risk of the child ending up in prison is dramatically different than in a single mother home.
Yep.
Because it's a hard truth, but the reality is women are not set up to raise boys at a certain place. Okay, you can take them in the nurturing stage when they're little, but they're going to reach a place. And I'll never forget, Reb Bradley taught this in homeschooling. He said, listen, men are born to manipulate women. Dads, you better put that in check.
That's
born to do it.
It's interesting because we also had a statistic that we read, and it said 90%. Now get this. So in high crime areas, the concentration where there's high crime, when there is a mother and a father and there's safety, stability in the home, 90% of those kids, and it's actually said over 90% of them don't become delinquents. And so you talk about the strength of a family structure and what it actually brings, even in high crime areas, when there's a safe, stable environment, 90% of those kids, even though they're surrounded by all the chaos,
right,
the high crime and all the other examples, because they're seeing it lived out in their home with safety and stability, 90%, over 90% of those kids don't become delinquents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, you remember this, you know, you've probably seen the stories, right, about the prison and the Mother's Day card versus the Father's Day card. Have y'all ever seen that one?
So
this warden, you know, they're having huge issues with morale in with the prisoners and what have you. And the warden gets approached by Hallmark, and they say, listen, we will give you the cards for free. We want to do something special, you know, and try to help, you know, because they're just having all this conflict. And so we're going to do a Mother's Day deal, right? And so they set it all up and the whole bit, and nearly every prisoner comes and gets a Mother's Day card and sends a card to mom. And okay. And so they think, man, that was what a great success that was. You know what? Let's do the same thing. And they, you know, Hallmark, you have to do the same thing for the dads. Month later, Father's Day comes. Not one.
Wow. Ugh.
Not one prisoner had a dad they wanted to send a card to.
You know, there is, we were just honestly laying in bed the other night, debriefing the day and kind of talking, and we had turned a television show because we don't watch much TV, but sometimes before we crash, just to kind of land the plane, it on for 30 minutes to an hour or so.
Yeah.
And I was just over there processing some stuff, and I asked Julie, I said, pause it for a second. I said, you know what? I said, I don't want any pity or anything like that, but can I just say it is really freaking hard being a dad. I will tell you that I have lived a lot of life. I was kidnapped. I fought in a war. I've been sued. You know, I mean, I could go through all these different tragedies that I've endured. But one of the most challenging things that I have leaned into, very intentionally, by the way, not perfectly, but very intentionally have leaned into, is being a dad. Mm-hmm. Because I think what a lot of men need to understand is that their sons idolize them. If you'll give your kids, sons especially, but daughters as well, just a half a chance to have something to admire in you, they will find the good. Now, we've got to be really careful. To me, that holds me literally to the highest level of accountability.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It causes me to check how I speak, what my voice tone is, how I respond to my wife, how I respond to them, you know? And I've just noticed, honestly, over the years, how much my daughters admire me. They probably more idolize their mom, you know? But my son, I believe that he has a tremendous high regard for me, and it puts me in check. It really causes me to take check on how I might respond in so many different things. And by the way, what I might idolize or glorify. And
right.
I think that that's one of those
right.
unstated things, one of those unsaid things that sometimes kind of get swept underneath the carpet. I can remember I used to love to grab a couple of beers and you know, barbecue on the weekends or cook on the grill. And I remember at one point, my son was a little bit younger and his calling on his life. And he said at one point, he said, you know, I'm just not sure that I really want to be a pastor and a preacher. And I'm like, well, son, why on earth would you suddenly say that? And he's like, well, you know, I don't know. I just kind of want to be a regular guy. I want to be able to, you know, have a beer and things of that nature. Now, look, that's a debatable issue for, you know, everybody's got their own opinion on that. And that's not really what I'm driving at.
Right.
But what I am driving at is that my son had somehow caught a glimpse that I was glorifying something like, man, I can't wait to pop the top on a cold one and go throw some meat on the grill. That's what guys do, right? Mm-hmm. And he felt like that being a pastor would keep him from being able to do that. So what I did is I became a teetotaler. I literally took all of the alcohol out of my house.
Right.
And because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't glorifying something that would lead him down a bad road.
It's interesting. Well, I appreciate you saying that. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about vulnerability, because mm-hmm. that's one of the things that, and I don't know if y'all ever saw that Kurt Russell movie Dreamer, the one, you know, the one with, well, what's her name? Dunning. Anyway, she's the little girl and she's got the horse and he ends up, you know, sending the horse away. And so she wrote this story about the king and the horse and the whole bit like that. Right. And he goes into her room and he basically is like, you know what? I screwed up. I blew this. And he goes and gets the horse back. I always tried, because I didn't, you know, you don't always get it right. You know, you blow a fuse, you say something you wish you didn't say, you were trying to get a message across, but you didn't do it the right way. I always tried to go back to my child, my kids, we got five, and say, listen, how I did that, not good.
Oh, what I was saying, if I had to go back with that.
What I was saying is this, and to say, listen, I'm seeing this in you. You're getting that from me. I've been dealing with that for X number of years. I'm still working through it. Let me tell you how I work to get through it so that now you at 10, 11, at 12, if you can get this thing beat by the time you're 15, I'm still working on it at 40. Boy, oh boy. You're going to have the world lit. And golly, guys, get vulnerable. It's okay to not be perfect. And I will say this, too. One of the best sermons that I think I ever preached, and I don't even remember all of it because it was Holy Ghost, but I preached a sermon on a Father's Day about dads being a hero. And I corrected wives. And I said, listen, he wants to be your hero. He wants to be your hero.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's not going to, he's going to screw up. He needs you to believe that he can be who he wants to be for you. So encourage him. Don't beat him over the head every time he makes a mistake. Encourage him. Let him be the hero for you that he wants to be. You know, I had three couples in my church on that Sunday morning that were living together. Over the course of the next 45 days, all three of them came and said, hey, we're getting married. I didn't say a word about living together or get married or none of that. But they all, they got it. She was like, you know what? No. Yeah, I need to let you marry me so you can be the hero you want to be.
You know, I think there's so many different data points and there's so many different behavioral things when it comes to this dynamic inside the home. Because, again, we see the feminist movement, you know, over the years, and honestly how it's destructive. It's not. I think it's really important that we honor women. And I think that when I speak to men, one of the things that I talk about is you need your job as her spouse is to love her into becoming all that God has created her to be. Mm-hmm. It's not to cut her down to size. It's not to put her in her place. I literally early on in our marriage would look at Julie and say, woman, you need to know your place. Right? Now, how well did you think that go? Not so well.
Yeah.
My point is simply this, right? When I learned to love Julie, when I learned to speak life over her, when I learned to create an environment where she could be, where she could really flourish in our home, it ministered to her heart. And of course, she was doing a lot of things to honor me as well. But what happened is we began to operate in tandem. She was doing the same thing for me. She was learning how to, just like what you talked about, Julie used to, early on in the marriage, she'll tell you that if I came up with an idea, because I'm an entrepreneur, right? I'm a business guy. I like mm-hmm. stuff like that. Well, if I would bring it to her, she would shoot me about 15 questions immediately about, did you think of that? Or what were you thinking here? Or, you know, all of these different things. And she realized over time that what she needed to do to support me to do exactly what you were talking about is to simply respond and say, you know what? If anybody can figure it out, you can. Right? Right? Well, at the same time, I bear responsibility, you know, again, to love her into becoming all that she was designed to be. So again, I say this just because there's a ditch on either side of the road.
Right. Yep.
There is such a thing as toxic masculinity. It is not the butt hurt, you know, version that we hear today, if I can say it that way.
Right.
Okay. But there is such thing as toxic masculinity. And I do think that we need to make sure that we're being present in the home, that we're loving our wife, that when, like you said, having enough humility to go back and say that we're sorry, all of these things teach our kids and bring about an example in society that was God's idea. Right.
Yeah.
Rather than these extremes that are that exist on either side.
Yeah. One of the most important conversations we had, especially with our son, I remember when Greg went to him and he said, "Son, what's more important, the head or the heart?"
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he thought about it a little while because he was doing it in a way to honor me, because in typical fashion, the male is more head dominant, more
thinking typically,
and a woman is more led by her heart or her soul, her emotions. And so when he was asking about the physiological makeup of a human being, which is more important? And yet here's the thing, both are vital.
Yeah.
They're necessary.
You can't live without either one.
Two together.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the other things when I do marriage counseling that I've done, and this is because my wife and I learned this, you know, we've been married 36 years. We learned this really early on. I'll never forget it. We were in an apartment complex, managing the apartment complex. We had two small kids. I'm upstairs and I'm crying out to God and going, "God, you got to fix her." And she's downstairs and she's crying out to God and going, "God, you got to fix him." And the Holy Spirit at the same time said, "Look in the mirror."
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Because you're accountable for you.
Yeah.
I say, look, Adam and Eve were not, Eve was taken out of Adam, but she wasn't a partial person. She was a whole woman. He was a whole man. And when their vertical relationship was right, then this was right. When she messed up the vertical and then he messed up the vertical, this became a mess.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, Greg, one of the things that we often say, and it convicts me. It holds me in check. And I like that because I like accountability, you know, and I like self-reflection. And I like things that help me to be able to measure more accurately through God's eyes. How am I doing here, right? And so often we'll say that the truest reflection of our spiritual condition, of our heart's condition, our Christianity that we claim is revealed within the four walls of our home.
Yeah.
Let it set on you for just a second, whoever's listening or watching. And the reason is because we're no more authentic to who we actually are than we are inside the four walls of our home. So how are we doing?
Right.
You know, honestly, because if we can get it right, if we can be intentional in the place where we're the most comfortable, and it's okay to be comfortable
sure.
in your home, obviously, you know, but if we can get it right there, then everything else and every place else where we're looking to be able to do ministry and represent Christ well, it's going to come so authentic and so naturally. It'll just come out of us, right? But if we focus instead of looking for some grand opportunity out there, if we really focus on the opportunity that happens right underneath our home, and based on the statistics that we've already talked about, probably no better opportunity to have a massive ripple effect than what we do inside of our own home. It will ripple throughout eternity.
That quiverful, man. That quiverful, right? If you don't get those arrows set in the right direction, you know, the damage that can be done is generational.
Right.
That's what
exactly
we don't
right.
we don't which and you know, a lot of us, we changed the course of history for our generations at us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
At us, it everything stopped and started going in a different direction, I hope, right? But that's our responsibility is that from, you know, from my wife and I down, our five kids and moving on, that's where I'm responsible. I can't fix what happened up here,
right?
But and some of it is good, and some of it's not so good. But here's what I can do: I can deal with from me down, and what happens with my family, and teach my family, you know, the importance of that. I am so, this has been great. We could go on for another hour. I know we could. I'm so grateful for what y'all are doing. Married for a Purpose. Give folks real quick the website and how best to make contact with you.
MarriedForAPurpose.com, and all of our social media handles are the same. Married for a Purpose.
Outstanding. I love it. I love it. I'm so, so pleased. We got probably about 30 seconds. Would one of you just say a prayer over our audience right now regarding what we've talked about?
So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be used by you. Thank you for choosing us. God, thank you for testing us. For those who are facing a trial right now, I just want to encourage you, Lord, they've been found worthy to be tested. And so as we pass these tests, as we overcome, as our faith grows, Lord, I pray, God, that your kingdom would be multiplied. Father, we pray for this nation and for each of the families that are listening to this broadcast right now, Father. We pray blessing over every single corner of their life. Bless their finances. Bless their relationship. Bless their health. Bless their families, God. Mm-hmm. It's all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so very much. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We got to take a break, folks. I'll be back. New hour coming up. Don Jans and I, we're going to talk about the continued advance of Marxism and how we stop it. We'll have that coming up for you in the next segment. But don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back right after this brief break.